Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. To learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful to be back with you live and in living color after yet another campaign that we have engaged in for the Senate seat in District 19 of Tennessee. Unfortunately, we were not able to assume that role and to exact the proposed plans to bring change, proactive change in the lives of many. Nonetheless, we're here, and our purpose for running was because of what we do here on Talk Straight. And let me just kind of reiterate to you, our listening audience, and if you're joining us for the very first time, you should know that Talk Straight is an online radio format. And this podcast is designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. So what we do is that we have weekly topics, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we strive to address real issues that are facing specifically urban American communities and young people in urban America. Yours truly, Reverend Dockery, is the host, and we've been grateful to have Pastor Ricky Waller with us for 2 years now. And while I was out, did a fabulous job. I can't thank him enough. And I want to thank our regular listening audience who continue to stay engaged and to participate. We appreciate that. That's really what this is all about. And so what we've done is we've opened it up to now more than 14 different cities that we've had the pleasure and opportunity to engage over the last 2 years. And if you're listening wherever you are, you can give us a call on air right now, 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Excuse me. Be happy to entertain your question or comment. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic for the evening, as much as practical. But we're grateful to have you. If you're listening and following us on live stream, feel free as well to drop us a question or comment, or you can give us a call. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And you may notice that we have a different background because we're transitioning back into our non-for-profit status and our business orientation. We were focusing on our political campaign in part, but specifically our major initiative, crime intervention advocacy. That's what you'll hear us speak more about, and we're aiming to move that further. There are some people we've been talking to on air that, Lord willing, we're going to get to them sooner than later in the coming months to their cities, and to bring our live seminar and our workshop that addresses many of the issues that we've been discussing. So with that being said, again, I want to thank each of you for joining us, and I hope you'll give us a call here live at 657-383-0944. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. Grateful to have you, and we hope to have Pastor Waller to join us in a little bit here, and our other callers who have been participating with us. It is the 7 o'clock hour, and we're live now for another episode of Talk Straight. What I'm going to do is what we customarily do, and that is provide a monologue. And the monologue gives us some guidance or some structure for our conversation, our dialogue, some point of reference. We do welcome opinions, and I don't believe anybody has to agree with what I say, and what I say is not necessarily gospel, although I strive to provide factual information that can be validated by empirical evidence. There are some basis for it, okay? But we honor and recognize and respect your position. And again, we just ask that you be respectful to all of our callers. Sometimes we don't all agree. That's okay. And sometimes we do agree. And our hope is that we can walk away touching a degree. And if we don't do anything else but agree to disagree. All right, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead into our monologue. As we sit in these last months of 2018, many are considering what will likely the next year bring, 2019. All across urban America, the daily news suggests that there are too many individuals who live in most distressed situation. Their anxieties become manifest in crime and offense toward their neighbors. Most often, these are innocent victims. Anything to do with your drama, your situation, your stress, they become your victim. Tonight, that's what we want to speak from the topic, how to understand what makes a man desperate. So I'm going to offer some biblical and historical information as the context for our conversation. And then I do have one scholar or one expert, if you will, on the matter of trouble, distress, so forth and so on, and desperation. I want to hear from him. And then we'll open up our phone lines. Again, the number to call us here is 657-383-0944. We got another about an hour and 20 some minutes to go before we wind down this particular episode. And as you call, I will go ahead and finish our monologue. And keep in mind that the shows are recorded. So if you like, you can go back later and review or view or listen to the show in its entirety if you missed any portion of it while we're live. Okay. I think having said that, we should get with the program and just get it going, and that's what we'll do. So, again, how to understand what makes a man desperate. The text in Genesis, the first chapter, 26, the 28th verses reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him." Verse 20 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In the text, there is a very, very strong suggestion, specifically in verse 27, that you cannot have man without the co-workings of male and female. Perhaps that's an indicator of some of the misnomers or the breakdown in the problem, the desperation of men. All right, I won't stay there. That's a whole other conversation. And I've written a text about that. I've written a little book about that. So, but let's keep it going. Genesis 1, 26-28. Let's define some things as we move forward, okay? I want to be very clear about, give a functional definition of what a man is, right, in the context of what we're speaking of. Then let's define what it means to be desperate. To be desperate. Consistent with our topic, how to understand what makes a man desperate. All right? Then I want to speak about general expressions of self-determination and self-will in the context of historically, socioeconomically, where many urban American males who strive to be recognized and respected as men find themselves in 2018. As I said, we're about to go into a new year, another cycle, and many people feel as though if I can't get it now, I'm running out of time. We're almost at Thanksgiving, and you know how they go. Before you know it, it's Christmas, and bam, New Year's. All right, so let's define what a man is. A male human being who has reached a chronological point of development and demonstrates responsibility. A potential and or actual progenitor of life. And a possessor of human rights, what a man is. Okay? I know there's a lot of disagreement about what it means to be a man, and many people are trying to define that for you. There are cultural aspects of defining man. But I just want to, let me just reiterate that one more time. A male human being, in other words, you have masculine reproductive organs, who has reached a chronological point of development and demonstrates responsibility, a potential and or actual progenitor, one who's able to reproduce life, and a possessor of human rights. Now let's parlay that with what it means to be desperate, okay, and see if you can measure those two, how they line up in any way, if they do at all. All right, I think that would be an interesting little study for us to determine that right quickly, and then we go to our phone. So we get to our phone line. Desperate. What it means to be desperate? Feeling a hopelessness or a sense of hopeless that a situation is so bad, gone so awry that it's impossible to deal with it anymore. Making an attempt, trying to do something that ends up in despair, frustration, anger. When everything else has failed that you've tried, you come to a point where you say, man, I'm going to forget it. Having little hope of ever being successful. Situation extremely bad. Serious, even dangerous for your continuance and everybody around you. That's when we find ourselves in that 6x6 dark room. All we hear are voices and a lot of noise. We feel like, hey, my life is desperate. to talk about right quickly expressions of self-determination and look and see some of the indicators based on statistics and data today that track individuals from the time you're born. You do know that your birth certificate is a tracking device, right? As well as your death certificate, all right? A general fear of social defeat seriously deters efforts of many good people, young people, particularly in urban America, of self-improvement. If I try, somebody is going to hold me back, knock me down, or keep me from being happy. So I ain't going to even try. I'm going to just hide and stay behind the crowd, get in where I fit in. Amazing. The future of young men across urban America often seems hopeless and uncertain. There's a share of young African-American males who are unemployed. Now, I'm not saying all of them are. In fact, some indicators suggest that the unemployment rate has dropped and there's been a better condition for African-American males. But by and large, nationally, even though things have improved, there are too many brothers who find themselves on the snatch and the grab because of a number of factors. All right? Now, during the economic peak beginning in the 90s, we'll bring it up to right where we are today. We see that there are several issues. In fact, in 2000, 65% of black male high school dropouts in their 20s were jobless. Either because they were unable to find work, they were not seeking a job, or they were incarcerated for some behavior in society. When we look at it, the incarceration rate jumped up from the 1990s. President Clinton was responsible for certain laws that made it harder on black men and put them in a situation where they could not make it for themselves. And it was a very tough time for us. Here we are in 2018, and what we see is that there's a significant issue here with incarceration. In fact, you're 4 or 5 times more likely to go to jail than you are to go to college, than you are to start a business. That's compared to your white male counterparts. Okay? So we ask the question, what is going on? What puts us in this dire circumstance? What is it that keeps us wondering how and when and why we can improve ourselves? What's really going on? You see, and the truth of the matter is there is a root cause for this desperation. Let me just finish a few points and then we'll get to the phone line. When you think about a young male grow up in poverty, without a father as his primary voice of authority. Coach, mama's doing the best she can. You know, she's putting her best effort out there often. And sometimes it's the case that they're not, unfortunately. But then they go to a school that woefully fails to properly prepare them with the knowledge that they need to become a productive citizen of society. Then they lose interest and hope on learning and acquisition of knowledge, and so they drop out of school. They find themselves wandering aimlessly in the streets to the point that either they wind up committing offense against somebody else, killing someone else, or dying themselves as a result of those circumstances. What do you do? How do you avoid being desperate? I don't have an education, don't have a decent job or a job at all. I'm going to get hungry and I want to live the American dream. man, I'm so desperate, man, I don't know what to do. And don't y'all know that's out there? Certainly in my run, all three times, but most recently, that became most evident. In fact, I had a circumstance where I engaged a young man face-to-face on that issue, as well as older men. And the truth of the matter is, there are good people out there. They don't mean any harm, but guess what, beloved? They're in desperate situations. Desperate situations. I'm not making excuses. I'm explaining why we have some of the problems we have. Now, what that tells us, that sets us up for an opportunity. We have an opportunity. Who is we? You, me, and anybody else who give a darn about these young cats that are out here in desperate situations. Let me go to an expert for a second on this matter. And sometimes people try to dress it up real good, especially church folk. You know, I'm a preacher, but especially church folk. We try to make it look real good. We want to give you a rose-colored glass so it don't look so bad. You understand? So you feel good about yourself. Don't fool with me now. Tell me the truth now. Let me know how I look. If I got egg on my face, tell me the truth. Listen to Johnny Taylor. Listen to what he says.
You got money. You got power. Go to the psychiatrist. Not to solve them. Hey, get away, just look at it. Oh, still gonna do. Oh, baby need new shoes. Mama need a new dress. Dad is not scuffling. Doing his best. Hey, get away, you still can.
Hey, you pick it up any channel where you want to.
Ain't it still called the blues?
Yes, Johnny. That's what they call it. That's what you call the blues. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we're talking about how to understand what makes a man desperate. I got Pastor Rick Wall in the house. And Pastor, we got with us tonight that beautiful woman, straight out of Peoria, Illinois, 8112. How y'all doing this evening?
All right. How are you?
I bet you've been all my life. So praise God. Praise God. 8112, where you been all my life?
Oh, paying attention from a distance.
All right. Good to hear from you. Pastor, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm good. Thank you. How about yourself?
You know, guys, I have been sitting here at my desk trying to figure out what I'm going to do with myself. 8112. I ran my mouth and made my best suggestions about how to fix the problem that keep people desperate. And I'm saying to myself, man, if the people don't want what you got, then what's the point of it? Help me with that, 8112. You're going to have to be my psychiatrist tonight. Johnny Taylor said you go to the psychiatrist, try to fix your problem. Huh? Come on, talk to me. Help me with my blues. Help me with my blues.
I think really you're a wonderful, wholehearted, humble guy, and we would like to lead them to the water, but we can't make them drink. People have a tendency to accept what's not so good for them, opposed to what's better for them.
I see.
Human beings, that may be their personal loss, but that's not their personal fault. Because I was always told, when you give it everything you got, sometimes we keep fighting against ourselves trying to make something happen. We get disappointed with ourselves when it doesn't happen because it didn't happen. But we fail to realize maybe it's not time for that to happen yet.
I see. Okay. Now, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that perhaps certain things are premature, it's not time for them, but we see young kids dying and killing now. Come on now, somebody ought to do something like yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I was also told before, I did not break break this family, and I can't fix everything, even though I try to give it a whirl sometimes. And go against myself, and I'm the only one upset.
All right, all right. That'll preach right there. You preach it to me now, 8112. You preach it to me now.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Pastor, what about that, Pastor? Is she on the right track, Pastor?
Oh, yeah, man. She's going to steer you right. Okay.
Okay.
You think that
okay. Okay. Okay.
Steer you right. That's just a good point. You know, when you just have patience and you learn how to practice patience, it'll work itself out. Nothing wrong with being in a hurry. I would line that up with being anxious. And, you know, if you determine that you believe, you're going to stand on it and just see what the end going to be like. Even though it don't work like that today, a lot of people are desperately, you know, in a hurry to do certain things. And I don't put person down for being that way, but I have learned the word of God says be anxious for nothing.
Right,
you know,
right.
But in everything through prayer and supplication. You know, so that's
the echo in the background.
Right,
you guys
okay.
Got to make an echo. Everything they're saying is repetitive.
I hear some music and something.
Okay. Let's see. Let me check the studio, make sure it's not. I don't have anything on my end. Perhaps I'll turn that volume down just a little bit. See if it helps. Does that help?
Oh,
at 8112? That better?
Yeah.
Okay. Perhaps our volume was up too much on our. But okay. Yeah, Pastor, I like what you're saying. Here's the thing, though. Now, 8112, I was. You know, the Lord showed me the difference between what my efforts were as an advocate for people and typically what politicians do, because I had the occasion this past couple of weekends ago where I'm out and I'm engaging voters in a fairly prominent area that was just two blocks over from the ghetto. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And good people, good conversation. Then I had to go to the restroom. And as I went into this grocery store, there were two black males, 13 years old, I know one of them were anyway, surrounded by a security guard and the store manager and a bunch of white brothers and sisters.
Right.
And one of the boys was just going off and pulled a knife, and he told everybody what he was going to do to him. And I said, man, I got to go to the bathroom and plus, I got to get back out here and, you know, engage these voters so I can win this election. But, you know, between the bathroom and back to the front door, I said, I can't let these little dudes sit here like this.
Mm-hmm.
Messed up my whole day, 8112. My whole day was gone then.
Mm.
And
no, it wasn't
because you said. What you say? No. I was just going to say that one of the young men, at least he walked off from the scene and didn't go to juvenile. And the other one came with me, and I got to meet his mama and talk to his grandmama. And I think we're going to be able to keep up with each other a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? But
yeah.
And he even helped distribute some literature for the campaign. But it took me off my course. Man, I said, I ain't got time for this. What about that 8112? Is that the right attitude?
You had time. You stopped. You cared.
Yeah.
You made time for that. But the other thing didn't go the way you want to, but what happened was, once again, you stepped up to the plate as an advocate.
Okay.
And by you doing so, you may have saved both of those kids' lives, or one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
You were redirected by God in a different way. And there was a reason for that. And it was a good thing.
Okay.
You got them out of harm's way and where they should have been with their parents. And the other one came with you and started delivering things and everything. See how that worked out?
Right. Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah. And that's the way I coded it afterwards. But what it spoke to me, 8112, and you say this all the time, what we cannot afford to do is to allow ourselves to get into a position where we give up. on these babies.
That's true.
No matter how bad their situation is.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, don't tell nobody I said this 8112.
All
but
right,
you know what I told them? You know what I told them when we got by ourselves? Huh?
Look at.
Look at, man. You know what I'm saying? hey, I'm gonna stay at your stuff. I'm gonna stay at your stuff now. Don't think I ain't gonna be. You know, I'm gonna come real with you. I'm gonna be nice and everything, but I'm gonna be in your little stuff.
Okay.
As it turned out, he goes to the high school that I taught at. You think that something?
Mm-hmm.
Some of his teachers are people I used to teach with when I was at
the
high school. I said, yeah, now see, don't make me have to call up there and check on you, boy.
And he's going to be looking around the corner, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. I hope so. And Lord willing, I want to be there when he looks around the corner to see us, so.
Somebody gave a darn enough and cared enough, they didn't just throw him out to the trash.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. And, you know, we're about to come into another year, and I imagine in Peoria, but I know Pastor Waller will tell you you're in Nashville, every time you turn the TV on, it's some young person. The ages are getting younger and younger. Is that right, Pastor? At least here in Nashville.
Yeah, just doing it's going on like that.
I mean, you know, if they're getting younger and younger, and they're doing grown folk type crimes as they get younger. And we just cannot position ourselves to say, well, that ain't my problem, I don't care.
Right.
Because you may be the next victim. So that brings me to some questions. If you're listening to us live, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Reed. Our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, on and call out of Peoria, Illinois. My sister, 8112, is joining us. They also call her Mama D. You understand? I like Mama D. I like Mama D. I'm going to go with
and
Mama
I like D. Him.
Right. I'm going to go with Mama D. That's what I'm going to do. Then, all right, Pastor Waller, can I go with Mama D?
Yes, sir.
So let me pose these questions. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Pastor. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I'm sure she's all right with that. Go right here.
Okay,
yes, sir.
All right. I have a few questions that I want to ask tonight, and I posted these on Facebook as well, but maybe y'all can help me with this. When the Bible in Genesis first chapter and first 26 verse through 28 talked about, man, just give me a second to just read that text right there. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. Who is that talking about? Does that apply to urban American males? Is that who God talking about?
That apply to everybody.
If you live in the ghetto, you ain't got no money. Huh? You so broke you can't pay attention. You understand what I'm saying? And all you can do is snatch and grab. Does that apply to you?
Yeah. It sure
does. Wait a minute now.
It sure does. Because you're supposed to say, I am somebody.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, come on with your bad self then. Come on with it then. What you say now? I am somebody.
I am somebody. They may not think you nobody, but everybody is somebody, child.
Right. Wow, you're speaking now. You're speaking now. And Pastor, you know what the one of the issues with desperation is? All these years, people have been telling folk that you're free. But it looked like every day you're in a living hell under bondage. And eventually you just get, see, from generation to generation, your daddy, your granddaddy, your great-granddaddy, and your great-great-granddaddy has challenges to their manhood. And here we are today. You question whether or not you're a man. In fact, some people, believe it or not, are afraid to stand up and say I'm a man. They're afraid they may offend somebody. That's deep right there. Pastor, talk to me about that, man.
Yeah, say that again, Pastor.
I say it, that there are male child children, people, human beings, who are afraid, mm-hmm. Pastor, to stand up and say that I'm a man and I want to start a family. I want to have a wife and children. They're afraid to say that because they may offend somebody who don't agree with that notion. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old, Pastor.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like you're saying something that they would be afraid to say something positive because of the peer pressure, maybe, you know.
Okay.
That could be a possibility. They don't want to feel like, well, you're not part of what we do. If that could be accurate to say. But when you have that personal relationship, and I do hear the little echo that 8112 was talking about earlier. Still, when I get a chance to talk, it's on my end. I don't understand because it's nothing that I'm doing. But other than just speaking directly to the phone. But let me emphasize on, you know, what it would be like if a person would be able to have a family or strive to do that. Like some may have a desire to do that. But the world's way is such an attractive way that's not basically something that goes on a lot.
Okay.
If you got it happening at all, it's a good thing.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be able to, if it was me growing up, looking back on my time of growing up, I wouldn't have had that on my mind, you know, to do that, you know, because it wasn't a going thing in my come up.
I see.
To raise a family, have a family, and to prepare to be married and all that, you know.
Right.
But it'd be a great thing, I'm sure, today, you know. If a person knew the will of God, I didn't know it. So I'm sure it's a lot of young people that just don't know the will of God, and how are they to know unless somebody get out there and do like that man did that touched me, came out of the church, you know, said something encouraging to me, and eventually my life changed. It didn't change immediately. Even in desperation, it still didn't change immediately, but it did do what it was supposed to do. It gave me something that I didn't have, you know, hope. You know, it gave me that. Yeah, and in the long run, I utilize it. Because the word says faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So what he put down, later on, my life changed. And that's what I got out of it.
I see. Well, I'm going to hit 8112 with this one then. 8112, tell me what this means to you. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to tell me what it sounds like, what it means to you when you hear it. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he, him, male and female, created he, them. What does that mean to you when you hear that?
Well, he created male in the image of himself. Likeliness, is that what it said?
It said created man in his own image.
Yeah.
In the image of God created he, him. And then it goes on to say male and female.
Female.
Created he, them. What does that mean to you? I mean, it sounds like it's not just a man. It sounds like, I mean, what does it sound like man is to you?
Sound like to me, because a woman had to give birth in order for a man to be who he is.
Okay.
Created it like that, even though he created male first.
I see.
He also created the woman. A rib now, meaning he's supposed to be the backbone, the strength, but it took a woman to bear down.
My Lord.
And have that male.
I see.
I said the first one God created. I said the devil. I don't think there another one got here. You gotta work first one.
You messing me up now. You know that, don't you? You know you messed me up, don't you?
Well, I don't.
Look,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I know, and I ain't trying to prejudge nobody. Everybody live their life the way they choose to. The best.
Nah, you're all right
with me. However, it still took a woman. Ain't no two men could tell that lie. They can get married all day long.
Come on, man.
Watch out, young lady.
She's
hard, yeah.
No two women.
Yeah. Oh, she's hard, yeah.
And make
my
no
God.
Baby because it was not the that when they get through with that lie.
I see.
Get through with that what? What you call it? When they get through with that what? That lie.
Because that is not.
Yeah, so you're all right, young lady.
So, wait a minute now. Don't move so fast on me, okay? You're going to leave me. It sounds like to me you might agree then that a lot of males grow up thinking, 8112, that they can be successful as a complete man without their female counterpart. Is that a misnomer? Are they mistaken?
It takes a strong woman to be behind her man, and that makes him stronger. Where his strength come from? If he has that strength from a woman, he has a lot.
Okay.
Even if it's just your mama and she's strong, he can move mountains with that within itself.
Can I ask this question then? Is it possible that one of the reasons so many young males and older males are desperate is because they missed out on that important fact right there, that God intended for you to have a woman in your corner somewhere? Is that possible?
I think a lot of things are possible. Yes, sir, I do believe that's possible because the era that I came from yourself and maybe Pastor Wallace may be just a little bit ahead of us or me. However, I think a lot of them were missing because a lot of them didn't make it up with love. They made it up with, oh, that's my baby, and they didn't teach them how to be a man.
Wow.
It's not something that's simple. I know guys my age, they don't even know how to hang a curtain rod.
Sure.
Where the hell you been at? What's wrong with you? And then they get mad because I'm doing it for them.
Okay.
I mean, you need to not tell my boys like my mother taught me. You won't eat, there may come a day where you can't go to no grocery store and buy your food. You got to get down there, dig in that dirt, and plant your seed.
Right. Okay.
And then you watch it grow, but it ain't going to grow if you don't take care of it. That's what it boils down to. Nurturing.
I get you. We've been joined by a caller from 847-5497. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc. We're talking from the topic, how to understand what makes a man desperate. Call a question to come in.
Your first question that you asked the young lady, what was that again? First was the word. What was you saying?
I was asking can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're going like in and out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're having some kind of issue. Connect. Can you hear me better now, caller?
Yes, I can hear you, Reverend Doctor.
Okay, good. So here's the thing. I was asking her, based on Genesis 1:27, how possible is it that one of the reasons old and young males are desperate is because they missed out on the importance of recognizing the need to have a female element in your life as you strive to become successful. Now, 8112 said that your mama before you get married, and I can assume that once you get married, your wife takes over there. How about that, caller?
Okay, well, what I personally think is people are not grounded in the Word. You know, the Word was here before man was made. First it was God, and the Word was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And God, people say the Bible or the Quran or whatever you read is fiction. But the thing about it is most of the stuff that's written in the Bible, scientists are finding out that that's how it really happened. Say, for instance, like the Great Bang. God said before anything happened, let there be light. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of stuff happened. So the thing to get back on your question is, people fail to realize, the first man and woman that was created was made in paradise. They had paradise. Okay. They didn't have to do or want for anything.
Right.
But the thing about it, they were tricked by the enemy, the adversary of God. They were tricked by him. So there was a punishment. And, like, people looking at their lives right now thinking, why can't I get this? Why can't I get that? And they don't understand that there's a punishment upon man and upon woman. Woman, God is going to greatly increase, because when God gives you a blessing, he's not going to take it back. But if he punishes you, he has to punish you. The thing about it, her bearing child, the pain and everything will greatly increase. And also, she will have to cling to her man. I didn't say that. That's what was written in the Bible. She has to cling to her man.
Wait.
It's the truth.
You
have to cling to it. Because you know what the thing about it is? What I mean by cling to it, whether a person agree with me or not, it's written that God made man in his own image. In his own image, after his own likeness. God is love. God is love. And you know what? God wants love coming back to him. So if we're made in God's image, no matter how long the first man, Adam or Adam, no matter how long, he could have been on the earth for thousands and thousands of years alone. It had to be a long time because time doesn't exist with God. But God looked at Adam, the first man, and said, you know what? It's not right for man to be alone. He needs a helper.
All right.
You know,
so,
and it's not to put a woman down or anything.
No.
It's not. I don't want nobody to get offended. Yeah.
No. That's okay. I don't want to be rude and cut you off in your thought. But 8112, it sounds like she had a question or comment for clarity.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you mind? No. You're doing good. Do you mind if she posed that for you right quickly? And then we'll
it's a talk show. I don't mind.
Thank you so much.
All right, go ahead, 8112.
My point was, a strong woman, as you said, would cling to her man. Yes, she would. Because his mama, a strong man gonna cling to his mama before he ever get into the point and the stage where he talking about he got to start a family, he want his wife. It started with his mother at home, like I said, for the most part.
Okay.
And if his mother grounded him and he made him to become stronger, taught him, and he finds a special woman in his life, his mother is supposed to take a backseat to his wife, because now his wife is that other strong woman. I'm not saying neglect your mother, but you honor your wife as well.
Exactly.
I didn't say you got to be a slave to a male or a female. You honor a husband should honor his as well as a wife should honor her husband. You should honor your wife as well. And keep her grounded as strong as you are, and as strong as she keeps you. That's what I was
Okay, I was gonna get with that. Like when God said it's not right for man to be alone, he took a part of man. He took a part of man and made female. That's why men and women don't think the same. You know what I'm saying? We look at things differently because a part of us was taken out of us that we can't understand. Sometimes when a woman expresses or says something, maybe 90% a man is like, I don't understand that really. It's because that part was taken out and made into a woman. You know, a good woman and a good man makes one whole.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
I guess.
And like you would.
Go ahead, finish your thought, and then I want to bring us back to our core discussion. Go
okay.
ahead, finish your thought.
Okay. Like you were saying, a good woman is supposed to, like when a child is born, a child clings to his mother. You're right about that. You're right about that. But also, a real strong man is supposed to be an example for a young man and let him know that you know you're supposed to a certain way to act. A woman can show a man so much, but she can't really show him 100% how to be a man. You understand what I'm saying? Like a man can't show a girl 100% how to. I raised my daughter, had private custody of my daughter, and I did the best I can to raise her, but I could not
sure.
show her everything of being a woman. There's certain things that a woman has to show a woman, and there's certain things that a man has to show a man. Now,
to
get back on this.
That's what Pastor Dockery was talking about, honey. I don't mean to sound inappropriate by saying that, but that's what he was talking about at first was, how do a young man know when he is becoming a man? I mean, a grown-up man. Not
right.
Just
a real man is supposed, like if he has a son, he's supposed to show him. It's not like an instant, well, you're a man, so now I'm going to show you. It's like growing a plant. Every day you show that man, the young boy, different things. So when he grows up to be physically a man, he already has that installed in him.
But he was speaking of urban America. It's not happening like that all over the world.
That's absolutely
You're
right.
You're right about
and
that. It's
that,
not.
Hold on 1 second. That's a good segue, 8112, to where I wanted to go. Here's the problem, caller. I appreciate what you're saying. I think you're spot on. And
mm-hmm.
both you guys are saying some great things here. Here's the real problem. Culturally, we have too many male children and female children who grow up without this kind of conversation and instruction in their lives. So part of the desperation that they face when they reach a certain chronological period where society expects them to know these things and to be well adapted, to be adjusted, and to be prepared to engage. Now, one thing they know, callers, is they know how to get their freak on. Talk to me, somebody. They know how to get their freak on when the urge has come. But nobody has taught them about. Hold on 1 second. Nobody has taught them how to control that freaky urge. Ain't nothing wrong with sex and having a libido and being attracted to the opposite sex. But what happens is when you grow up like a wild weed and you don't know the order and the discipline that comes with that, you do things out of order and in excess. Go ahead, caller. What were you going to say?
I think that comes from, to be honest with you, I think that comes from the way the government is running right now. And
uh-oh.
Now the thing about
uh-oh.
It is, I'm sorry, but I got to keep it real. If it
come
walk
on,
like a
real,
duck,
man.
Quack like a duck, it's a duck.
And you ain't talking about half black either, are you?
Yeah, it's a duck. But
all
the
right,
thing about it is, okay, a long time ago, way before I was born, see, I listened to older people, you know, and I'm glad I'm like that. You know, they had it hard, you know, people living on farms
right.
and all that other stuff,
right.
taking care of stuff. But you
right.
know what, though? There was a man involved in that. It was a family network. You had a mother, you had a father, you had siblings. But the way
right.
they got it now, like back in the early 60s and the early 70s, they tried to destroy that unit. In the urban areas, they tried to destroy that unit. What they did was they said, we're going to give you some money. Okay, we know you got some babies. We're going to give you some money, but you know what? That man can't live over there.
See what I'm talking about?
But if you go somewhere else, like on a farm somewhere in Virginia or somewhere else, they got farm aid where they're giving the family money, but the family is way connected. Sometimes
that's
they
correct.
Get paid not to grow nothing, you know, but that family is still together.
Right, it's called the
but
jubilee.
That family,
here's your point.
Yeah, but That family is still together. So what they did
right.
is they separated the male and the female so a child could grow up and not see that and not know how to understand that.
You're right on point, but let me stop you for a second. Here is in 2018, and in a couple of months we'll be in 19. Here's the lesson.
Uh-huh.
Here's the instruction. One of the questions I ask is, how do you eliminate your desperation? We have got to take the government out of our decision making.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep.
Let me say that one more time. Let me let that sink in somebody's ears. We've got to take the government out of our decision making. Because
okay.
the government will have you changing your whole perspective about your creator. It will have
okay.
you fighting male and female against one another for control in the family. It will have your
okay.
children turning on their parents, whooping their behinds and threatening them, running the household. It will have
uh-huh.
you crying at funerals because your child is dead before they have to be.
Yep.
Are y'all walking with me?
That's going on now.
The desperation that we face. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's why I'm saying it. That's why I had this topic tonight, because when we look at the problems that we face, this didn't pop out of the sky. You're right, caller. It's by systematic
yeah.
design and social engineering.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's what I was trying to get back on. Like I was saying, we were in paradise. But after we had that punt, after the first man did what he did, there was a curse put on man. And what I mean by that is he has to work by the sweat of his brow, working against storms to bring in whatever he needs to bring in. And there's
sure.
not. And when I said about the Bible, the Quran, we have to spiritually strengthen and educate our children right from wrong. And they have to understand that you're not okay. Say for instance, Joe down the street is making $2,000 a week selling drugs, or this girl is making $1,000 a week selling herself. Okay, she's making money, but you know what though? She's making money, but you know what though? The thing about it is, that's not right. She's going the way of the world. We're better than that.
Right.
This was the punishment
right.
that we have to work hard. We have to work hard. Even Jesus was tempted. You know, do this and sell your soul and you'll have the riches of the world. You know, we have to educate our kids that, you know, there's two ways to go. Okay, this money is going to go fast, doing the street way or gang banging, selling drugs or killing one another. You're going to get whatever you want quick, but you know what, though? It's an illusion because you know what?
Hey.
Somebody could take that away quick.
You don't live
right.
in urban America, have you?
Who? Me?
I was talking to your man. I said, you don't live or have not lived in urban America, have you?
Are you talking to me, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, I was born on the west side of Chicago.
Okay.
Watch out now.
I was on the south side, born. I was not raised
west?
There all my life, but I was born on the south side. However, anyway, my point for that is this. Then you are one to know that because we say these things, some of the things we say,
yep.
and the way a lot of people have to live, because they have not been taught perhaps the way that you have. And they may be listening to us. They may not.
Right. Right.
However, my point is that is no excuse for us to shine them as Pastor Dockery reached out to those two little young guys. I don't think he was on there at that point. And he
I understand
them,
that.
And he helped them. And that's my point. If we could speak in a certain direction, and I'm not talking about the biblical days, because right now the biblical days are what they were and they still are in my heart. But
there
in 2018, it's just
right.
not going like that. It's called
right.
Revelation.
Yeah.
Okay, these times are conception upon. Yes, it is. And things are happening to these babies, as he's saying. And a lot of people that has made it through the hood. That's what urban America really is.
Yeah.
The hood.
And a lot of times
they don't reach back. Some of them don't reach back into that bag that they already lived in and go back, grab somebody else. And each time somebody grabs somebody else and somebody grabs somebody else, after a while, you're going to have a whole bag full of cookies.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to say, can I say something? You're right about that. You're right that there's a lot of people that get to where they become the they move up like the Jeffersons and forget where they came from. You're right. You're right about that. But the thing about it is, what about those ones that still struggle? It's not just up to them to do it. There's people that they have good hearts and everything that's living in the urban area. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And some, you know, everybody took their time out and stopped saying, well, that's somebody else's kid or whatever. And you know, like what the pastor did, stop what he had to do and say, you know what? I got to straighten this out before I take care of what I got to take care of. If everyone did that on a daily basis, it would be it would be much, much better. And
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's not just the
thing about it is the way we are with each other, we look at certain things, but we don't look at the whole picture. Okay, they moved out. But there are some people that moved out that's doing something. But what about all those people that's there that's letting things happen without saying anything or worried about this might happen or that might happen, or I'm not going to say that's not my business or whatever. I'm going to stay quiet even though I know something happened. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop pointing fingers at each other
pointing fingers, sweetheart. I think it's more or less about, it is, as Pastor Dockery was saying, it is a growing, and they're not getting so much as older because they're dying young.
Yeah,
because
you're right.
Because instead of going to jail is teaching the babies because they figure they're not going to there. They're going to put them in juvie.
That's right.
So they'll get the little kids to go run their little dirty work for them. I think he was saying that I got out of it.
No,
robbing the cradle now too much. They're robbing the cradle.
Let me interject here. You guys are right on point. What happens is the elders now are exploiting the young. Either intentionally or unintentionally. If we fail, brother, to do what is right by them, we have failed them, and that's our fault. That's our fault. They're babies. They don't know any better. They don't know any better.
Yep.
That's what you call neglect. See?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't care how much education, how much money, or whatever your dreams are. Now, I understand that sometimes some of our people are so far out there that you really just have to have an honest conversation with them about coming to Jesus. And you don't do that in public.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But, some things we take care in private. But I'm just saying, we do have and this is the tough part about it, this is where the desperation comes from. Okay, we do have a responsibility when God blesses you to do everything within your power. Sometimes, I didn't get both of them, Carla. I didn't get to keep both of the young men with me. Only one of them came with me. The other one was in such a dire scrape that it was impossible to reach him right then. And I'm praying for his. You understand what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, do you just sit there and say, that ain't my problem, and let it do what it do?
No, I don't think you sit there and say that's not true. And you know what? It's a right and wrong way to come at someone, whether they're
that's
5
true.
Years old
right.
or
right.
21.
Right.
But if you come at them in a way where they can relate with you, you can change somebody.
Sure.
You know, that's
the
thing about
that's
it.
A good point.
A lot of
that's
people walk past and they see this. And you know what? Most of this stuff doesn't happen instantly. You see stuff like if a child is growing up and they they learn it from somebody else or somebody older teaching them something. You see gradual stuff. But if you nip that weed in the bud quick, it ain't gonna mess up your lawn. You gotta cut it quick. And see, that's the thing about it is we let stuff slide because we're too caught up in stuff of this world. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they got it set up where it takes two people or maybe three people in the household to come up with mortgage or to come up with the bills and stuff like that. They don't have time. And then they're sitting there putting on anything on TV. These kids are at home watching anything on TV. They're watching women acting a fool and men dogging out women and men talking about how much money they got and got gold in their mouth and tattooed all up and everything, you know?
And that's
they got them like that. So how are these kids are supposed to react and learn when that's being bombarded mentally in their head?
You're supposed to monitor them kids, even on their laptops, their phones, their computers. You put a child parental guidance on it where they don't have access to other adult things. If I'm watching something, my grandkids come in and ruin me, whether it be scary, freaky, or too much cursing because grandmama do cursing. So I change real fast.
Yeah, but you don't have the time. But you don't have I work from 4 o'clock in the morning to four in the afternoon to four in the morning to come up with ends meet to pay my bills.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? And then my wife, she's working. You know, you don't have the way society is right now, you can't be with your kids 24/7. Or one parent is not going to be able to stay at home while there's a breadwinner out there making the money. So what we need to do is we need to change some stuff on TV, stop glorifying these people that's selling themselves and their dignity for money, and then keeping the money to themselves and not doing nothing for these poor people. They talking about a whole bunch of gold in their mouth, but you know what, though? You haven't sent no money to no place where you grew up or donated any money to a church or a shelter or anything. You keeping all of it. You know what I'm saying? We need to stop glorifying these people that society puts to brainwash us, to brainwash our children.
Okay.
I can't blame it on other people. It's not just no one people. The people, the work of a whole lot of people. I can't blame it on the government. Because if it wasn't for the government and the laws that were changed, if it wasn't for our big fathers, older guys, mentors, it's like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and so many others that I can't even name right now, paving the way have been paved. And so,
you're right,
and I told my sons, it is very important to vote.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, but you know what, though? You're talking about all these strong black men, Marcus Garvey, they sent him out of the States. Martin Luther King, they assassinated
they
him.
Killed.
They assassinated Malcolm X.
Brother Malcolm.
They assassinated all these people before the 70s. Who do the children from the 70s and 80s have to look at as a positive role model? Who do they have to look at? They don't.
Pastor
they
Wallace,
killed
Pastor,
all of them and sent one of them back to Jamaica.
Whatever his name is, you got a whole lot of advocates all over now. There are so many of them out there now. That's who you got to look up. Those are the elders, some of them, over many people. You got them. I'm sorry, I'm done now.
We got another call, and I was trying to get Pastor Wall in this, but y'all got it fired up. Let me get a caller from 0390. Welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic how to understand what makes a man desperate. We want to try to get rid of his desperation. Welcome, caller. Question, comment.
Yes, this is Brother Rich. Thanks for hearing everybody voice for another precious day that the Lord has made. Doing real good, brothers and sisters. I'm gonna tell you. It's I like to go on and get straight to the point. All that waiting and
okay.
da 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 da.
Okay.
So we're at a point where we're feeling sorry for ourselves, and there's really no need.
Hmm. Okay. Explain
okay,
to us what
tell
you mean.
I'm gonna okay, because here it is.
Okay.
So if you're worried about yourself doing the right thing, you know
mm-hmm.
what you're doing is you're doing His job. You're doing God's job.
Hmm.
Okay. So what does God say? Lay all your burdens on who? Me.
On
you
Him.
We're trying to lay our burdens. We're trying to lay our burdens on people, and people can't do it. So when someone such as a preacher, and I'm not saying all pastors are bad. No. I'll never say that because I personally I don't know a lot of preachers. But some things could change. But what I'm trying to get at is that I've been told all my life, even from the elders, Doc, that you have to have that walk with God yourself. The youngins now don't even know who God is. They think
well,
he's a joke because of what they've been told on TV.
Wow.
Okay, who runs the TV? Who runs the TV? Come on now.
Okay.
Let's keep it real.
Yep.
Okay, like the young lady said as I was hearing, it's more than one advocate out here. Once again, Brother Rich, you can find me on social media, you know, Don_Rich_42 or 43. You know, so a lot of people try to hide the truth, but that's all I have to say, ladies and gentlemen. For now.
That's a great point. Let me bring Pastor Walla in. His head must be about to implode right about now. Pastor, what say you to all of that?
He's patient.
And I was just listening in, you know, and I was just grateful to be able to just listen to the constantly ongoing talk, you know. And then I looked at the situation about being tricked. How the trick took place. And in order for God to do what he does through people, he worked through people, right? So let's just deal with how Satan worked through people. And so if you get a bunch of opinions that holds no value, you know, because nobody is standing on the one accord thing, then he wins.
Right.
And let me tell you how he do this. The Bible says, unless Satan get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So what are his devices? What do he use? He used people. He used places.
Yep.
And he used things. So if we acknowledge that those are the tools that he used, then how are we going to strip him from his power? I would say this. I've been tricked. I know what it's like to be tricked. You know what I mean? And then knowing that I was tricked, I was an innocent kid, ended up, as 8112 was saying, I became an advocate later on, but I was tricked first. And then being tricked, I was playing with a basketball innocent in the yard. Ended up supplying my whole community with drugs. And I was an innocent kid. I wasn't doing it trying to get rich. You know, I thought it was the going thing. It was fun to do. And this is what took place because the enemy misused me. And he done it so well. He done it so well, you know, now I'm aware of it. So, no, I won't go back and do that again. But look at all the young brothers that are doing it that are innocent. And she made it very plain and clear. You can't charge these young brothers for what they're doing. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you don't know no better, the Bible even says this. It's better not to know than to know. So that means that if they don't know, then who's going to school them? And that's what I believe she was talking about when she said there are people that today you're finding in our communities, but who's going to be supportive of them who know what to do? See, sometimes envy will not let you be open-minded. That's a tool of the enemy. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because,
not to cut you off, Doc, but why is that? We have to have an open mind because here it is. It's a rule that a lot of houses don't have now, and you know that, Pastor, is that here it is. This is what's going to bring the bond as far as us as people. period. You want to start off with the people, period, because you don't want to discriminate, okay? So, you know, you have different ethnics of people that do discriminate, though. But what I'm saying is, you know, what one says, it shouldn't really just bother you. It shouldn't. It's almost like we agree to disagree. You know, it's an old cliche.
Let me interject this, and I hear what Pastor Walker is saying.
That's the problem right there. Excuse me, agree to disagree. That's a problem. That's a problem because what value of agreeing to disagree, and what is it going to do for what our problem is? Because we always agree to disagree, which means that when we find a solution, there's no disagreement to the solution when there is a solution. For instance, how to break down a person who is on drugs? You teach them how to get free from it, and there's no way you can disagree, you know, agree to disagree with that with a person who knows what to do. Now, I'm not talking about one speculating. I'm talking about, I'm going to use myself as an example. I was addicted to a drug for 20-plus years of my life. A chemical told me what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and even told me why I was doing it. I got free from it. I've been there for 26 years. Why wouldn't someone want to listen to me and take what I got, which is a solution, and follow my lead? Why not? I know what to do, and I'm willing to do it. But I'm not going to force people to follow it. You know why? Because I'm open-minded. And I know You're telling me, okay, when you say that that's the problem, so you mean to tell me that we can't deal with people on everyday life, including our family, on that same? I'm confused. I don't understand that. You know, I'm not saying I don't understand the theology that you're speaking, but once again, you've said it yourself, Pastor, that everybody's walk with God is quite different. We acknowledge that it's two different kinds of gods, a good God and a bad God.
Hey, Rich.
Everybody on this line serves a good God.
Right, bro, Rich, let me say this. Man, look at the time. We just got 12 minutes. But look, bro, Rich, let me say this. And I don't want to speak for Pastor Wall. I think he does it well. And I think if we summarize our conversation with the other callers as well, what we're saying, Brother Rich, is that, yes, there are many people who bring something to the table. And all Pastor Wallace is saying is that he may not have a bunch of degrees. He may not have the news with a stick and a mic in front of him all the time, in the camera, right? He may not have the loudest voice out there. You got hucksters that are quick to run and get suck all the oxygen out the air, and they ain't talking about nothing. What he's saying is, practically, he has a workable plan to help somebody get off and stay off of drugs. But now, some people would suggest that he's not qualified because he's not making a bunch of noise and he's not turning spins in the street like some other folks are. We have to really realign ourselves to who it is we're paying attention to and we're taking cues from. Because some of these jokers, even in politics and in church, they're a bunch of fools and liars, and they're the reason there's such a desperate situation today.
That's a big problem. And that's a big problem. I mean,
I agree. I agree.
What I have to offer actually works. It's not that it might work or it should work. It all the way. It does work. I mean, I've experienced it. It's something that I don't mind sharing because the kids deserve it. If they didn't deserve it, and if God didn't give me the mission to do it, for instance, he told me this. I'm gonna turn it back over. He says, "Go home and tell your friends what I've done for you." That sounds like an instruction to me. You see what I'm saying?
They're going to listen to you because you've lived and are living both sides of the, not living, both sides still, but you've been on both sides of the fence. That's what makes the problem. Children listen to you even more. And you keep what you're doing. Oh, me, sir.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Excuse me. Can I say something?
Go ahead, 5797.
You know what? I remember when I was growing up that they had in the neighborhood, they had things where young brothers would get younger brothers and take them to movies, take them different places,
right.
And like the city would pay these guys to do this, and plus they would teach the younger brothers younger them. If they started doing stuff like that again, the young brothers that's growing up would see some love, and maybe that would change. Like you said, we gotta stop working. Like you said,
it's called Big
I'm
Brother.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hold on.
They still have that here in Illinois, where I live anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And my son's girl always participate. I'm sorry.
Hey, 112, let him finish this thought because he said something key, but I want to add something. No, you're all right. I still love you. I love you like Jim Bullard. Go ahead, 54897. Finish that thought.
Yeah, you know, I've been in gang. I have done my share of different things, but you know what, though? I had a strong mother. You know, my father was in and out of my life, and, you know, we straightened whatever
okay.
we need to straighten out. But you know what, though? The thing about it was, if it wasn't for a few good men, like the Army, a few
right.
good men to ground me, no matter what came out on the street at
mm-hmm.
me, I knew my rights and my wrongs. And you know
okay.
what? I done seen a lot of friends fall on the wayside. You know, because they didn't have the older people to teach them or take them out somewhere. The only reason why young kids get into trouble is because, you know what? All they looking for is to feel a part of something. That's
right.
it.
Okay.
To feel
okay.
a part of something and have fun.
Okay. I just want to add to your thought, 5497. What
yeah.
they did back in the day was good. But we cannot wait on the government to do it for us today. The city,
we could do
state,
it.
Order, that,
yeah.
that's what I'm trying. That listen, that's what. See, sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves, and sometimes we have resources. You made
right.
point. You made this point earlier. 5497.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have resources and we don't know how to properly use it. Now, if Don
yep.
Rich, Pastor Waller, you and I. Put $500 together, that's enough money for us to reach a couple of young guys and do what you just described for about
yep.
2 or 3 weeks. You follow what I'm saying?
I hear
now,
what you're saying.
You
I hear what you're saying.
Listen, follow what I'm saying. If we're going to pay tithes and offerings, why don't we put that in a ministry that is facilitating things like that? Are y'all walking with
yep.
me? Or am I just in this room by
yeah.
myself?
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You're
exactly.
absolutely right on that.
I'm loving that. Yeah.
They should well that goes like you said, that goes with the church. Maybe with the donations and stuff, maybe every church they should pass them or every church use a certain bit of that money and a certain bit of that money for the neighborhood for youth programs. Maybe it could be babysitting. Maybe
watch this. You got churches on every block, sometimes 5 and 10, and they stay locked up most of the week. There's an opportunity
yep.
to use those facilities and to take these
yep.
babies off the street, educate them, socialize them, and build their hearts and their minds up, brother. But we're not holding so-called leaders accountable.
Yep.
That's our problem. That's why we're in such a desperate state. Because we're looking to people for leadership, and all they're doing is
yeah,
running games
right.
on our dime.
Amen.
Y'all are more powerful
yeah.
than y'all even realize. Y'all
yeah.
just started
yeah,
your
yeah.
own team network and don't even know it. I'm sitting here looking at
uh-huh.
That would
well,
be a wonderful thing.
Hey, Doc.
For young men
yeah,
and women.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Dr. Isaac,
can
I get you your information and Brother Wallace's information numbers? Because
sure.
I tell you what, hey, y'all have really, you know what I'm saying? Because I love having these intellectual talks with my,
yes.
you know, other black leaders
yes.
in the community.
Yes.
I grew up in Nashville,
yes,
Tennessee, and I've seen
right.
the big change, you know. So to sit
okay.
down, especially with an OG, but he's an OG in ministry now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to minister, I don't know. That's how I look at it. I'm serious. You know, I'm willing to, you know, sit there because I need to learn all at the same
okay.
time. It's some things out there Pastor, like I tell you, a lot that has like tripped me out mentally. Books like How to Teach a Negro to Be a Christian. Really? Those are true books. That's nothing fictional.
Read stuff like that.
Okay, we got 5 minutes. Guys, look, this is just juicy. And they're running out on us. Doggone. Let me give you my number. Rich, you got a pencil? I'm going to give you my number, man. Call me, and we'll wrap. I got your number.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a call, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give you a call.
Man, please. Please do, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm going to take you over there to Pastor. I'm going to hand deliver you to Pastor Wally if you got time.
I like how that sound. I tell you, on a Saturday, I'm available on a Saturday.
I was gonna tell you like I was gonna tell 8112. It's on like Donkey Kong in the side of the neck bone. We got this thing.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, listen, we're down to 4 minutes. My goodness. Now you all just don't know that on a regular basis. These are the type of conversations Pastor Wallace and I have been banking off of. And I'm going to tell you all the truth. A lady asked me, you're going to leave the church? You're going to leave the church to go into politics? And I explained to him, no, ma'am, I'm not doing that. But I realized that there's some so-called leaders, political leaders, that need to be removed.
Yep pretty much.
That's a whole nother conversation. Look, give me 30 seconds, everybody, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor Wallace to take us out of here. Come on, let's start with you, 8112. Give me 30 seconds to live back before we leave here.
I didn't feel good, but you guys have touched me and moved me so much. I enjoyed the conversation from each and every one, and God bless all of us. And we all continue.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Love
all right, all right. Come on, 5497. Talk to me, man. Give me 30 seconds I can hold on to, man.
You know what, though? You know, I really enjoy the conversations that you've been bringing every week. And, you know, it's been opening my eyes at some stuff that I need to do. And, you know, as a young man that been through some stuff,
that's beautiful,
I got to straighten myself to help out some young brothers. So I'm going to be trying to work on situations and talk to a couple of churches where I can do something to motivate somebody, you know.
All right. Well, Lord willing, we're going to move this traveling seminar a little bit faster now that we're back in the grand here. But God bless you, man. God bless you. We appreciate you here.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Come on, Don. Don, give me a final thought there before we get out of here, man.
All right. I got two quick things. The devil is a lie and cannot be trusted. The second thing I always tell people, once again, on my shows at Don Rich, on, this is on Instagram, DonRich_42, @42, I tell people all the time, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm not taking it back. And guess what? I ain't apologizing for it. I'm telling you now. That's it.
All right. God bless you, man. Appreciate that. Pastor Wallace, take it home, man. I'm going to bring Don Rich over to you, Pastor. He's not going to come out at you this weekend.
That'll be great. Yeah, that'll be great, man. I look forward to the time to come. It's been great.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm the only one who had a chance to talk tonight, as well as those who had a chance to listen. You know, the word of God, you know, have shared with me, have helped me, have given me a chance to speak it. So on this night, I want to encourage everyone to recognize the power of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, where it says, "Let brotherly love continue." And the power of love that's in it, when we let it, it flows ongoing, nonstop. And as I know the truth is in it, there's no failing in it when we get that together. Let brotherly love continue. Picture that.
All right.
Whether it's two or three gathered together in his name, catching and agreeing, that he said he'd been in the midst of us. That's what the love is. Staying hooked up with
all
the
right.
Yeah, maybe
all right.
All right. God bless.
All right.
Yeah.
Man, with that, we'll be back Thursday night for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben, Dr. Pastor Rick Wall, our co-host, and all our lovely callers. We appreciate you. We hope y'all come back Thursday. We'll fire it up again. With that, we'll leave you on this note. Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move.